Let's open up to Matthew chapter 5. Many of you are aware that we are currently doing a series on the subject of Christian living, and we're using what is called the Sermon on the Mount as our text. And the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 through 7. And we are currently looking at what we call the Beatitudes. And so we'll pick up and look specifically at verse 8 of chapter 5 tonight. But once again, I want to read to you verses 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, as we're looking at these Beatitudes, I want you to remember that Jesus isn't so much telling us what we are to be doing, but rather who we are and how that ought to manifest itself outwardly. What Jesus is giving to us here in these Beatitudes is actually a description of the character of a Christian. So Jesus here he's really describing for us what a Christian is. And what have we seen so far? We've seen that a Christian is poor in spirit. We've seen that a Christian is a person who grieves or has grieved over their sin. We see a Christian as a person who is meek or humble. A Christian is a person who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We saw last time that a Christian is a person who is merciful. And now we come to this next beatitude. A Christian is a person who is pure in heart. Now, it's interesting. As I was looking over the text this week, and I've been sort of seeing these hints in the Beatitudes, but it does seem that Jesus in the Beatitudes is bringing forth new light on many of the ideas that were addressed in the Psalms. And he's actually using the language of the Psalms. Let me give you some examples of what I mean. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Psalm 34, verse 6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. You see, the poor man in the Psalms is the man who recognizes his need. He's poor in spirit. He knows that he needs a Savior. He knows he needs someone to save him out of all of his troubles. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalm 30, verse 11 says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And then, of course, the third beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37, verse 11 says the meek shall inherit the earth. So we see that direct connection there. And then blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You remember Jesus said, they shall be filled. Psalm 107, verse 9 and Psalm 143, verse 6 say similar things. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 107, verse 9. And then, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. So we see those same ideas being communicated. And then, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Psalm 18, verse 25 says, With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. And now we come to this next beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4 say, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So you see the parallels. You see the connection. You see that Jesus is drawing here from the language of the Psalms. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Again, the idea of being in the presence of God. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So, blessed are the pure in heart. The word pure, the Greek word, katharos, is a word that's also translated clean. And it is speaking of something being clean as opposed to something being dirty. It's, of course, also obviously translated pure. And it's speaking of something being pure as opposed to something being polluted. So when Jesus is speaking of the pure in heart, he's speaking of a heart that is clean rather than a heart that's filthy. He's speaking of a heart that is pure rather than a heart that is polluted with sin. There's obviously the idea here also that there's a transparency, that there's a genuineness, there's a sincerity about a person. You know, of everybody on the planet, we as Christians ought to be the most genuine, transparent, sincere people that there are. Any duplicity among Christians or any disingenuous attitude or anything like that, it's a total contradiction of who we are to be. Hypocrisy is something that is not to be a part of our life. It's not to be in any way, shape, or form part of who we are. We are to be pure, sincere, genuine. And that's hinted at, or, you know, you can make that connection with what he's saying here. But even beyond that, he's speaking more of a pure heart in the sense of a heart that is no longer polluted by sin. Now, we'll get into more detail in a moment, but the problem in the world today is due to the condition of the human heart. And when we talk about heart here, of course, we're not talking about the physical organ. There are many references to heart in the Bible. Very, very few of them are references to the physical organ. When we talk about the heart, when the Bible refers to the heart, what it's really referring to is the center of the person. It's referring to the total person, really. It includes the mind. It includes the will. But the heart is the center of the personality. So who you are, the essence of who you are, is all bound up in this term, the heart. The heart is the true you. You know, we talk about people who we say, oh, well, you know, I know they're kind of rude, but you know that, you know, they've got a good heart if you get to know them. You know, what are you saying about a person like that? You're saying that, you know, outwardly they might be kind of gruff or whatever, but, you know, who they really are when you peel back all of that other stuff, you know, they're really a good person. What you're just describing who they really are in their essence. And that's what we mean when we talk about the heart. And that's really what the Bible is referring to when it talks about the heart. It's talking about the true you. It's talking about who we are in the very depth of our being. Now, we're told a number of things regarding the heart. we're told that the great commandment is to love the Lord with all of our heart. We're told that salvation is something that takes place in the heart. For with the mouth, confession is made to salvation, and with the heart, one believes to righteousness. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So the heart is oftentimes being contrasted with the mind. Although the mind is involved in the heart, you of course can acknowledge certain things with your mind, but they don't really connect in your heart. You know, sometimes we say about a person, well, they've got a lot of head knowledge. What does that mean? It means that they've got the information right, but it hasn't translated to their life. It hasn't really impacted them and resulted in a change in their behavior. So they know it all in their head. Or you talk about somebody who, you know, they believe with their head. There are lots and lots and lots of people who believe with their head in Jesus Christ. They will acknowledge, oh yes, Jesus Christ, he's the Son of God. He's the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead. Died for the sins of the world, right? Is that the Jesus you're talking about? Yeah, that's him. Right, okay. Oh yeah, sure, I believe in him. I believe in him that he existed. He lived in history. He did those things. But yet that belief has never wrought any kind of transformation in the person's life. What is that? Well, that's head knowledge. They've just got the information. They've got the right information, but it hasn't gone beyond the head. You see, once it gets to the heart, that's when everything changes, because the heart is the center of the person. And so Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. And remember, I will bring it up once again, blessed, not merely happy, but a person upon whom the favor of God rests. So who is that person? God's favor rests upon the pure in heart. But here is the dilemma that we find ourselves in. The Bible tells us that the heart is wicked. Listen to these different statements from the scripture regarding the heart. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And then, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. These statements made by God are recorded for us in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and chapter 8, verse 21. Numbers 15:39 says this, and you shall have a tassel. God is speaking to Moses. Moses is speaking to Israel. You shall have a tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, and that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. So the Israelites, they had to put this blue tassel as the hem of their garment, so when they looked down and saw it, it would remind them not to go with the inclination of their heart. The inclination of their heart was toward harlotry, toward idolatry, toward evil. Jeremiah 17:9, that famous passage, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Another translation is that it is incurably sick. And then Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 19, he said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. You see, here's the problem. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, but our hearts are defiled. The Jeremiah passage is the one that really strikes me. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then it says this, it says, and who can know it? And here's the amazing thing. What we are being told there is that our hearts are more wicked than we could ever conceive of. You see, we can't conceive of it. You know, we can maybe think of a few people in the long history of the human race who we might look at and say, man, that guy had a wicked heart, an evil heart. But you know, most people, you'd say, well, you know, I know they've got some problems, and I know they might have a bad attitude, and I know they did this and they hurt that person all. But you know, really, their heart, you know, they're a good person in their heart. But you see, that's because we just can't grasp the true condition of our own hearts. As I look at my own heart, I mean, surely I can find plenty of things in there that are not good. But desperately wicked, incurably sick. Now, I could find some people to tag that label onto, but I have a hard time putting it on myself. You know what I mean? Because we tend to think, well, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, most people are basically good at heart. No. But you see, we can't know. We can't know. That because what sin has done to our minds, we can't even know the depth of our own depravity. It eludes us. We can't grasp it. And the fact of the matter is, if we really did, you know, if we got a true glimpse of the real state of our hearts, it would probably cause us to have a heart attack, literally. Probably scare us to death. To think that, oh my, I can't, no, that can't possibly be me. You know, there are occasions when you see, and especially, you know, if you're in a position to deal with lots of people and to deal with them over the issues of life like you have when you're in the ministry, occasionally you will see these glimpses of the depravity coming out of people. And the thing that's really mind-boggling is that sometimes it's people that you've known for a long time and you've had a close relationship with and you've had, you know, your view of them, your perspective of them has generally been a positive one. Then all of a sudden you see things happening that are just unbelievable. You can't believe what you're hearing. You can't believe the stuff they're saying to you. They're lying to you. And they're manipulating. And they're slandering. And they're doing these things. And you're like, how could this be happening? I've known this person. But you see, you're getting glimpses into that depravity that's there within all of us. But God literally puts a restraint on the wickedness of the heart. And you know what happens? And what's happening today, we're seeing it. And it's a prelude to judgment. When God begins to take off the restraints, if God wants to judge the world, all he has to do is pull the restraints back on the human heart. And then we see the proliferation of the things that are in the heart. Like Jesus said, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. All this stuff starts to come out. You know why we have laws? We have laws to restrain what's in the human heart. And as the laws become more and more lax, we see the heart just overflowing into society. And we see increase in evil. We see increase in violence. We see increase in perversion. We see increase in thefts and deceit and all these kinds of things. It's the heart. The heart is the problem. So, How do we go from this condition? How do we go from this to the blessed condition of a pure heart? Well, it begins with God. I can't purify my own heart. No matter how hard you try, you can't purify your own heart. You might go on a campaign of sorts to clean up your act. Anybody ever do that? You decide, okay, I'm going to clean up my act. Before I got saved, I realized that I needed to change my lifestyle. I realized that a lot of my habits and behavior was bad. And I actually went on a campaign to clean up my act. And I had a totally backward picture, not really knowing what the Bible said. I had the backward picture that a lot of people have that, okay, I get my act cleaned up and then I go to God and present myself to Him and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm better now and I'm clean and I've gotten rid of this junk in my life and so you can accept me now. That was the mentality that I had. I thought that's how you did it. I knew that I couldn't go to God in the condition that I was in, or at least I thought I couldn't, because He's not going to accept me. So I decided that I'm going to change. I'm going to stop doing certain things. I'm going to get an attitude adjustment in a lot of areas. I'm going to, you know, start using different language in the language I use, and I'm going to stop using people and, you know, all of these things that I knew were things that were unpleasing to God, and I just knew intuitively they were wrong. I said, all right, I'm going to stop doing all this stuff. And I found that that was impossible. I would do okay in certain areas for brief periods of time, but, you know, nothing lasted. My friends and I, we decided that we would try to help each other, a few of my friends, and we started what we called the Mellow Club. And, you know, mellow is kind of an antonym for rowdy. So we were rowdy, unruly, kind of troublemaker type people. And so we decided we're going to be different. We're going to have a mellow club. We're not going to pick fights anymore at the parties we go to. We're going to be nice to our girlfriends, which was very unusual. We're going to try to put other people first, be polite and kind, and, you know, things like that. We really did. I mean, we kind of came up with our own little list of rules that we would follow. I think there were about five of us in the club. And I think four of them dropped out after a couple of weeks. I actually hung in there the longest. But, you know, it didn't take a whole lot of time before I realized this mellow thing just doesn't work. Because it was my attempt to reform. And I would find, as anybody who's tried that, and there's a lot of different ways you can try it. You don't have to join a mellow club. I mean, you can try it through religion. You can try it through philosophy. You can try it through various self-help types of systems and things like that. And you know how it is. It just, it'll get you a little ways down the road, but before long you'll find that you just keep slipping back and more things keep coming up. So how do you deal with that? How do you change that? Well, the biblical solution is you got to get to the root of the problem, and the problem is in the heart. So what do you have to do? You have to have a change of heart. And in the end, that's the only way that things will finally change and change completely, change the way that they need to change in order to be accepted by God. You got to have a change of heart. But this is where the Lord comes into the picture, and this is where He is at the forefront of the picture, because until the Lord purifies my heart, I really can't go any further. But that's exactly what He does. In Titus 2:14, it says that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself his own special people zealous for good works. So the purification begins not with me, but it begins with the Lord. You see, the Lord is the one who's provided a means of purifying the heart. And of course, that purification comes through the sacrifice that Jesus made. The blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. So you see, that's where I begin. I begin by having the blood of Jesus cleanse me. And that word cleanse, again, is this. It's this same idea, purifying. So the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from sin. So now my heart is washed. My heart is washed clean by the blood of Jesus. But it's not automatic, just because Jesus died for my sins, that automatically I'm washed and cleansed. Of course, my part is to believe. And so we read in Acts 15:9, it says, in reference to those who believed in Christ, it said that the Lord was, that he was purifying their hearts through faith. So Jesus did his part. His part was to die for my sin and to provide that cleansing agent, the blood of God's Son, that will cleanse me from sin. My part is to believe. And my heart is then purified by faith. So it's my faith that brings me to that point of contact with the blood of Christ that purifies me. And that's what he's talking about, purifying their hearts by faith. So there is, first of all, what we might call this initial purification that takes place. And this is what happens when we receive Christ. There's this initial purification. And the Bible uses different ways to describe it, but the Bible actually refers to the fact that God gives us a new heart. The Lord speaks of what he's going to do with Israel in the future, but it's already happened to those who are part of the new covenant. The Lord said, I'm going to take out of them the heart of stone, and I'm going to put a heart of flesh in them. So God gives us a heart transplant. He takes the heart of stone out, the hard heart that's resistant to him, and he puts in a heart of flesh, a heart that's tender, a heart that's responsive. So this is the initial thing that takes place for the purification to come, and then that's when we come into this place now that Jesus is describing, this place of blessedness. Blessed are the pure in heart. How did I get there? I got there by receiving Christ. But here's another thing. Because we are still sinners, but saved sinners, we're sinners saved by grace, we're saints separated for God's purposes, but we still possess those sinful tendencies and things. There needs to be a purification thing that's taking place regularly. There's the initial that puts us in the category of the pure in heart, but then there has to be maintenance. And we read in 1 Peter 1:22, it says, since you have purified your souls or your hearts in obeying the truth. So here's the thing. As I confess my sins, there's cleansing and purification. As I am obedient to God's word, there's that purification that's taking place. As I submit myself to the cleansing effect of God's word, the purification is taking place. Jesus talked about that cleansing. This is a very parallel message to the Wednesday night message in some ways. talking about similar kinds of things. But again, it's that cleansing. It's that purification. How does that take place? It's all of these things working together. It's the blood of Christ cleansing me from sin. It's the Word of God washing me as Jesus said it would. You are clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. You see, His words cleanse us. His Word washes us. His Word comes into us and it cleans out our system. You know, our spiritual heart, you could liken it to our physical heart. You've got all of these arteries and things that are going to and from your heart. And, you know, there are times when those arteries get blocked up and they've got to cleanse those. They've got to purge that plaque out of there for the blood to be able to flow and life to be maintained. And this is what God's Word does for us in our spiritual heart. The Word of God comes in like that cleansing agent and it scrubs that filth, that pollution. It scrubs it out of us. We need to realize there's a lot more going on when you're reading your Bible than you might be aware of. One of the methods that they would sometimes use to try to help people with blocked arteries is what's called chelation therapy. And I remember years ago I used to go to a nutritionist, and he had an office there where he had a number of elderly people who were going through this chelation treatment. And they would come in and they would, you know, get hooked up and basically they send this solution through your system, and the idea is that it's cleansing out your arteries. It's breaking up that plaque and then, you know, washing that stuff out of there. Well, there's a parallel in us getting into the Word. It's like spiritual chelation therapy. The Word of God starts going into your spiritual arteries and cleansing them out and taking out those pollutants and things that result in that hardness. So it's this purification work that Jesus does initially for us as we receive Him, but that He continues to do as we seek Him, as we follow Him, as we obey Him. Now, what is the blessing that is referred to here? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. I think this is referring probably ultimately to heaven. Only the pure in heart are going to see God in the ultimate sense. Only those who have had their hearts purified by faith are going to be in heaven. But I think that's ultimately what he's talking about. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. But specifically, it says they shall see His face. It's like it says in Hebrews chapter, I think it's 12. Pursue holiness, for without holiness no man will see the Lord. And again, holiness and purity of heart, these are all similar ideas. But without holiness no man will see the Lord. So ultimately, if I'm going to see the Lord, if I'm going to see His face, if I'm going to be in heaven, I'm going to be there because I have had my heart cleansed. I have been purified in the blood of Christ. My heart has been purified by faith in Jesus. But I think there's also another aspect to seeing God. I think that there's a reference here as well to seeing God here and now, to experiencing God's presence in this life. And that's something that I hope you would agree with me. I think that you would. That's something that we want. I want to see God in heaven someday for sure. I want to see Him now too. I want to see God work. I want people to see God in my life. I've often thought about that statement, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. I thought of it in the sense of, if somebody's looking at you and you are professing to be a Christian but living unholy, no one's going to see the Lord. They're just going to see a hypocrite. But if you're living right, if you're living an obedient life, people are going to see the Lord. They're going to look at you and say, wow, God is in that person's life. But here when Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, I think He's also talking about seeing God today. And it's as we maintain a heart that's right. You know how it is when your heart is right with the Lord? Man, you see God. People, when their hearts are right with the Lord, they're seeing God. Say, man, you know what the Lord spoke to me today? You know what I saw the Lord do today? Oh man, this past week the Lord did this and the Lord did that. Because what's going on? They're seeing God. They're seeing God actively at work in their lives. In their life. Oh my. Got excited there. I tried that ear thing, but it didn't work out. So, but then, you know, you find some people who, they're believers, they come to church or part of the fellowship, but you know, when you talk to them, it's like they don't see the Lord. They don't hear the Lord. The Lord's not doing anything. I don't know about the Lord anymore. You know, I used to have this and I believe that, and I remember when God did this, but I haven't seen anything. Could it be that it's not, the problem isn't with the Lord? The Lord's still there. He's still ready. He's still wanting to work. But could it be that because there's an impurity, because there's a pollution that's come into the heart, because there's sin that's been allowed back into one's life, you're just not seeing the Lord anymore. You don't see Him working in your life. You don't see Him involved in the circumstances that you're involved in. You're not hearing His voice. See, that's a heart problem. A hard heart. What did Jesus say about the men of His generation? He talked about their heart being hard, their ears growing dull, their eyes growing dim. See, that's what happens. When the heart gets hard, the ears grow dull and the eyes grow dim spiritually. If your eyes are dim spiritually, you can't see the Lord working. If your ears are dull, you can't hear Him speaking. It's a heart problem. There's a passage in Jeremiah. It's a very challenging passage. It speaks of the shepherds of Israel, and it says this. It says, the shepherds, their hearts, the shepherds have not sought the Lord, and their hearts have become dull. Therefore, the people do not prosper. So the condition of the people of Israel was do back to their shepherds, not seeking the Lord. And because they're not seeking the Lord, their hearts are growing dull. And you see, that's what happens. If I don't seek the Lord, if I'm not following hard after Him, then this kind of thing, this dullness or this impurity. You know what it's like to have crystal clear water and then to throw something in it that makes it murky. You can't see. And that's, again, that's the picture here. There's that pure, crystal clear thing, but then when there's a pollutant in it, you can't see. You can't see the Lord. But the pure in heart, they're the blessed ones. They're the ones that God's favor is resting upon. And the blessing is manifested, as in each one of these Beatitudes, the blessing is manifested in this particular case in they shall see God. We'll see God. We'll see God. We have that guarantee that we're going to heaven, but we will see Him today. We will see Him that He's at work. He's working in our lives. And I don't want to live in this world blind and deaf to the things of God. The world it's too miserable a place. I need to see God at work. I need to hear God speaking. And we're going to have that as we're pure in heart. And going back to that one thought of sincerity. And it is, you know, there is a connection. Sincerity of heart. A genuine heart. A heart that's truly set upon the things of the Lord. Some have seen in this phrase, the pure in heart, some have seen a parallel with the single focus. Some have seen a parallel idea there. Jesus speaks later on in this sermon. He speaks about the single eye. The eye that's focused on the Lord. Single versus divided. And some have seen that kind of an idea here. It's interesting. In one of the Psalms, David, he prays basically, God, give me an undivided heart. Give me a single focused heart. He prays, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. So that's the picture. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is who we are to be. This is who we are by faith in Jesus. We've had our hearts cleansed, but we want to keep that purity of heart. We want to maintain that so we can keep on seeing the Lord at work in our lives. And as we close tonight, if maybe things are a bit murky, if your spiritual eyes have grown dim and you can't really see, you're not seeing the Lord. And your spiritual ears have grown dull and you're not hearing God. You need some spiritual chelation. You need to get your heart purified. Just plug into God's Word. Plug it right into your artery and let it just begin to flow. Just receive it. Take it in. But you know, a lot of times there's something blocking that needs to be moved out of the way, and sin will block it. Sin will block it, so we've got to get the sin out of the way. And maybe you've allowed sin to come into your life, and That's the thing that's blocking. And you're still coming to church. You're still picking up your Bible. You're still doing things. But, you know, it's not the same. It's different. It's the sin. You've got to get the sin out. And how do you do that? You've got to just say, Lord, I'm in sin. Forgive me. Come and cleanse me. Purify me. I choose you and I turn from this. And God will give you the grace. He'll give you the power to do that. But that's where it starts. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these words that you spoke that continue to speak to us today. And Lord, we think of the blessing of seeing you, of actually seeing you face to face one day. Lord, that's a thought that we need to ponder. But Lord, seeing you each day, seeing you at work in our lives, seeing you faithfully leading us through this life, seeing you moving, answering our prayers and touching people around us, seeing you at work, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to see God. We want to see you now, here, today, acting strong on behalf of those whose hearts are pure toward you. So, Lord, purify our hearts tonight. And, Lord, if there's anyone here that's got sin blocking up that spiritual artery, Lord, help them to just cast themselves upon your mercy tonight, to confess that they have sinned, just to make that confession and to, Lord, turn from that through your help. And Lord, just restore that flow that will bring an ear that can hear and an eye that is no longer dim, but an eye that sees clearly, sees you clearly. Thank you, Lord, that you purify our hearts by faith. And we believe you tonight. We believe you to do that. Cleanse us. Keep us clean. In Jesus' name.